This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we get the latest on the firing of the doctor at the center of the Thoma VA scandal.
First, the Republican presidential last week, hosted by CNBC, sparked the sharpest attacks on the media so far in the 2016 election cycle. The Republican National Committee suspended its relationship with NBC over that debate. Some of the questions from moderators got strong reactions from the candidates, like this response from Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media.
Here to talk about media bias in presidential debates is Mike Wagner. He's an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So let's start with your initial reaction after watching the CNBC debate. What did you take away from watching it Wednesday night?
Well, it's always a good applause line to blame the news media. Several candidates did so at one point or another. Donald Trump criticized a question he was asked. Ted Cruz criticized questions many people were asked. And when they do those sorts of things, they get a lot of applause. And so one thing I took away was when candidates don't have something else to say, they attack the news media. And that's a great way to get people on their side to applaud.
So there were complaints from the candidates and from their campaigns that ridiculous questions were being asked, like in this clip from New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
We have $19 trillion in debt. We have people out of work. We have ISIS and Al-Qaeda attacking us. And we're talking about fantasy football?
So do you feel like the moderators were asking questions that covered the real important policy issues?
Yes and no. I think some of the questions were about very important issues related to, say, the debt ceiling, related to people's tax plans and whether they really added up or not, related to candidates' experience for the office. Those are all legitimate and good questions, I think, to ask in a presidential debate. The fantasy football one, I get why Governor Christie was criticizing that. On the one hand, it's a pretty big industry and lots of people are participating in it and spending their money. And if they're being cheated by these companies, that's worth knowing. And, you know, I understand why CNBC maybe wanted to ask the question, but probably not as important as some of the other issues that are facing the country in the coming years.
And the question was whether it should be a regulated industry.
Right. I think Governor Bush has mentioned on the campaign trail that he likes playing fantasy football and his team is doing well. And so he got a question about should it be regulated.
So Florida Senator Marco Rubio said the mainstream media is basically a super PAC for Hillary Clinton, which is a claim of liberal media bias. Do you find that convincing?
No. The mainstream news media have been pretty hard on Hillary Clinton. And you don't need to look too much farther than the news outlet that most conservatives who like to claim or make claims about media bias point to first, which is the New York Times. And the New York Times has been a place that the Clinton campaign has complained a lot about, as have many liberal PAC organizations and liberal activists have claimed that the New York Times has it in for Hillary Clinton, that they don't like her. And, you know, a lot of this can be boiled down to something that people who study the news media call the hostile media effect, which is the idea that individuals tend to interpret the news media as being against their team and for the other side. And so when people see news coverage, they tend to remember the more negative stuff about their candidate and tend not to remember the more negative stuff about the other candidates.
So let's try to compare apples to apples here. So Republican candidates are saying that in the debates they're being treated unfairly. They're also accusing the media of throwing softball questions at Democratic candidates during the Democratic debates. So how accurate do you think that claim is? How would you assess the treatment that the Republican candidates are getting versus the Democratic candidates?
Well, there are two different scenarios here. On the Democratic side, you have an obvious front runner, one competitor in Bernie Sanders, and a few people who really don't have much of a chance at all, and most of them have already dropped out of the race or never got into the race in the first place. And so the kinds of questions that are going to get asked in that debate are different than the kinds of questions that are going to get asked when there are 10 people on the stage trying to differentiate themselves from each other, even though they're all members of the same party and generally share the same views on a whole range of issues. And so moderators in a debate of 10 need to try to find ways to point out, here's what these people think, here's how they're different than each other, in ways that moderators in a debate of two or three don't have to do. And so the questions are going to be different. I think there have been easy questions for all of the candidates in some of the debates, and there have been questions that border on whether they were fair or not to almost all of the candidates so far in the debates.
So going back to that idea of debates with 10 people on the stage, 10 candidates, is it really humanly possible to moderate something like that well?
It's really difficult because politicians are strategic actors who want to make sure that they only say what they want to say in their, for, you know, the things they say in their stump speech, for example, or they want to ignore the rules when it suits them, and they want the moderators to enforce the rules when it suits them. And so some candidates tried to jump in when they technically by the rules weren't allowed to in the last Republican debate, and other candidates who should have gotten the chance to follow up in a rebuttal didn't get the chance to in the debate when they should have been allowed to. And so it's really difficult to moderate those kinds of things unless you have a rule that says the moderator can shut off your microphone. And that's something that candidates won't agree to because they'll look silly if they keep talking and then the moderator cuts them off. And so in the kind of the new list of demands about how these debates should go from the GOP, they've asked questions about how are you going to moderate? How are you going to enforce time? Will there be a gong, a buzzer? What? What will you do to stop us from talking when our time is up? And how will you decide who gets to follow up? And these are things the Republican candidates are worried about going forward in the debates.
We're talking with Mike Wagner, associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, and we're examining claims of liberal bias in the mainstream media. So the GOP candidates have been very loud and insistent about the fact that they feel like they're being mistreated. Debate has been... They've severed their relationship with NBC.
Right.
They're talking about changing the schedule of debates. Do you think that media outlets are going to be afraid of being perceived as biased towards one political party and risk losing access to the candidates on the other side?
Most media outlets often live in fear of being labeled as being biased in one way or another. And so that's something that the members of the news media always think about. And one reason they think about it is that when people complain about bias, it turns out it's pretty effective. It can even affect how aggressive reporters are the next time around when they deal with candidates. And so there could be kind of far-reaching effects for these kinds of claims. And one of the reasons to do it is sort of like working the refs in a basketball game, right? You'll see Bo Ryan patrol the sidelines yelling the other team is in the lane for 3 seconds, and it's because he wants the referees to pay attention to that and maybe call it later. And that's the kind of thing candidates on both sides of the aisle want to do. They want to get the media thinking, are these questions too hard or too unfair or too imbalanced? And if so, maybe rein them in and make things easier for those candidates.
So there's certainly a large body of media outlets that are very clearly aligned to a more conservative Republican part of the political spectrum.
Sure.
But Republicans seem to be the ones that are saying more more vociferously that they are being discriminated against or there's bias against them in the mainstream media. So what are they referring to when they talk about the mainstream media?
They're referring typically to network television, NBC, ABC, CBS. They're referring to major national newspapers like the New York Times and the Washington Post. They're referring to National Public Radio in their view. They're referring to, you know, broad outlets that don't have a niche audience like Fox News or MSNBC or The Daily Coast or the Drudge Report or something like that.
We are talking with Mike Wagner. He is a professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison. But we're talking about the perceived media bias in presidential elections after Republican attacks on the media following the CNBC debate last week.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you think the media is biased toward Democrats or toward Republicans? What did you think of how Republican presidential candidates responded to moderators at the CNBC debate? Do you think the debates have been fair or not? How do you think debate moderators should moderate? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion about allegations of media bias in the presidential debates with Mike Wagner, journalism professor and media expert.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see from these presidential debate moderators? Do you think that the questions CNBC moderators asked of Republican candidates last week were fair? Do you think the mainstream media is biased one way or the other? Call 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
So the criticisms of the moderators in the last debate were immediate, right there in the debate. For instance, Texas Senator Ted Cruz criticized the questions moderators asked in this clip.
This is not a cage match. And you look at the questions. Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
So, Mike, did Senator Cruz have a point there? Were the moderators asking questions that really address the issues that are important to Republican or all voters, for that matter?
I think yes and no. I think, you know, reasonable people can conclude that asking Donald Trump if he's a comic book candidate might conclude that that question's kind of going too far. But asking Ben Carson if his tax plan adds up when independent analyses suggest that there are significant shortfalls, and asking Marco Rubio, a paper that endorsed you said you should resign, do you have a reaction to that? Those are reasonable things to ask candidates. And so, you know, it's noteworthy to note that Cruz gave that answer when he was asked a question about the debt ceiling, and then ran out of time and said, don't you want my answer? And the moderator said, you used your time for something else. And then they moved on.
So did moderators ask questions to purposely encourage infighting among the candidates, would you say?
I think that's part of some of these organizations' goals. And again, this goes back to the Republican field is so large that it's important for moderators of debates to help draw distinctions between the candidates so voters can figure out who it is they're going to vote for. The problem is that even in 3 hours of a debate, you're not going to ask everybody the same question, and so you really don't draw the distinctions. You say, here's the most controversial thing about you, talk about it, and then move on to the next person. The thing that's most controversial about you is totally different, but talk about that. And it's not a great way for voters to learn anything about these Republican candidates. You know, it's the most qualified field in terms of size and scope that the party has had in a long time, and it would be worth it if we could hear more from them about the issues.
Let's go to the phones, and Dorothy in Oshkosh is up first. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, and thank you to your guest, Mike Wagner, for your insights. I have been watching the debates, and one of my questions is, how are the moderators chosen? The reason I'm asking that is because, not to give away my bias or anything, but I think Rachel Maddow is an excellent interviewer. She has real skill in what questions to ask, but of course the other side is not going to invite her to be the moderator.
Right.
I just thought that the moderators at the Republican debate, I didn't even know who they were, and they certainly didn't seem very skilled, whereas the ones at the Democratic debate were very skilled. So in some ways, it was skewed, but let's look at what the sides are offering, and do they have skilled moderators on the Republican side?
Thanks for that call, Dorothy.
Yeah, that's a great question. How are these folks chosen? So in the primaries, they're largely chosen by the network that's running the debate. So in presidential primaries, one network, you know, it's their home field, right? So CNN or CNBC, they're hosting it on their air, their channel. So they choose people from their station to moderate those debates. And the quality of that varies pretty widely. In the general election, the Commission on Presidential Debates goes through a larger process. There's usually a moderator. Sometimes there are more, but recently there's been really one moderator that's chosen for each debate, and that person kind of goes through the rules. And there are just two candidates, don't forget. So in the Democratic debate, one reason that the moderators were able to keep them on task is because Hillary Clinton didn't feel the need to go over time and go after people because she's way ahead, and Bernie Sanders, her closest competitor, didn't really attack her much either. And so there wasn't a need to corral them, whereas in the GOP debate, many folks are going after Donald Trump, others after Marco Rubio, others after Jeb Bush, others after Chris Christie. And so there's more for the moderators to do, but they really don't have a hammer in terms of consequences they can give.
So, Mike, as a journalism professor, what do you think is the role of debate moderators?
I think moderators should force candidates to defend their record and talk about why their ideas are likely to work given the structure of our government, which is to say, you know, a House and a Senate currently controlled by Republicans, likely to be controlled by Republicans after the election. So Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders should have to talk about how they would work with the other side, and the Republican candidate should have to talk about how they would work with their party, which has had some infighting, as we saw in the kind of the falter all over who's going to be Speaker of the House. And so I think part of it should be, how are you going to get things done? And part of it is defending the things that you've done in the past.
After the CNBC debate, the Republican campaigns were talking about what they want to see for a new debate format. Mm-hmm. What are some of the options that might be out there, and what will they agree to?
That's a great question. So with so many candidates, it's hard to come up with a format that's beyond a bunch of people on the stage getting a short amount of time to talk about incredibly complex issues for a couple of hours. And so until a few candidates drop out, or until they say we're only going to bring in people with this level of support in the polls, or we're going to say we'll do three debates, 1 hour each, and we'll put five people on the stage at a time, randomly selected. So they could do a bunch of different things, but you know, getting all of these different campaigns to agree is a tough row to hoe, especially because the leaders don't want to spend their time with Jim Gilmore and people and Rand Paul who are at the bottom. They want to debate the people who are up at the top. And people like Lindsey Graham, who can't get on the stage, really want to get on the stage.
We're talking with Mike Wagner, associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW. We're looking at the perceived media bias of the mainstream media in the recent GOP debates. Let's go back to the phones and Randy in Arborvitae. Hi, Randy.
Hi. You know, I really think that you can't help but find bias in any type of newscast, whether it's on TV or in print, not maybe so much in what they say, but how much they say, the amount of time given to the broadcast, the amount of ink given in print. And as far as these questions go, you know, some of them really are questions of substance. But then you get these silly questions about fantasy football. I think it's time these commentators or mediators start asking more questions and get those other ones completely off the table.
Thanks for that call, Randy. And actually, let's go right to Gabriel in Milwaukee next. Hi, Gabriel.
Hello. I just wanted to say that it seems to me that, there's evidently a contradiction in their argument, because on one hand, they're saying that the questions for the Democrats were very soft, but then they asked them a soft question, such as, talk about fantasy football, and they're complaining as well. So it seems to me like it was just a way of, like your guest said, I don't think that they really had much to say, so it was much easier to attack the media.
Thanks for that call, Gabriel. So, Mike, a couple perspectives there on the quality of the questions. Were they too hard? Were they too easy? Are the candidates ever going to be satisfied?
No, it's a tried and true strategy to complain to the news media about questions. And you know, the caller's quite right. You know, some candidates complain the questions were too unfair because they were too difficult or too controversial or too exploitative. And others said these were questions about unimportant issues that shouldn't be asked in a presidential campaign. And candidates always blame the news media and have done so increasingly over the past several decades. And it's one of the things that's contributed to an overall decline in trust for the news media more generally.
So in just the last couple seconds we have, do you think the next debate, which is scheduled for November 10th and hosted by Fox Business, will be any different?
Yeah, just down the road in Milwaukee. Well, that's a good question. So we might see some of the moderators even reference questions that were asked in the past and refer to them in ways that build up their own brand on Fox Business to talk about more substantive issues. I would imagine that Fox Business would spend more time on economic issues, regulation issues, and that sort of thing. So I would look for that in the next debate.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Mike Wagner is associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the UW-Madison. He was with us to talk about claims of media bias in the latest presidential debate.